Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include, absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right, we guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Francisco Lindor. I mean, like I said, he sets the tone. I bet if I racked him up, he's probably been big shot of the night already like four or five times. Three hits on the night, one RBI. And him being the leadoff hitter, him just doing it night in and night out, his numbers at Citi Field with this run that the Mets are having at Citi Field, raising his average over 300. What can you say about the guy? He's talking the talk in the postgame. He's leading the way. Lindor, big shot of the night. Honorable mention, Aaron Judge, even though it was a losing effort. Judge goes 4-for-4, the captain of the Yankees, 4-for-4. And the Yankees end up wasting that effort. But, you know, he stole a base too, extra base hit. Judge is batting over 400 at 411. And, man, the Yes Network flashed the stats during the postgame. Judge is first in average hits, RBI, on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, and total bases. He's not leading the league in homers. But any game, he could hit 2-3 homers and catch up. So, yeah, Francisco Lindor, the Mets' unnamed captain, and Aaron Judge, the Yankees' captain, your big shots of the night. Let's talk to some Mets fans that are calling the fans. I think before the break, I was talking about someone who was sending me some numbers. But basically, and I can't find it on Twitter. I get too many tweets. But I'm like, where did it go? Maybe the guy can bring it back to the surface for me. But he was saying, like, if you take out the, you know, 20 run game that the Yankees had, scoring all those runs, and then you average the rest of the Yankees games, they are averaging closer to like 4 runs scored per game. Like, they're not almighty, even though Judge is all world and ridiculous. Like, there are holes in the lineup, and they've kind of come back down from the torpedo bats and the early hype that, you know, Major League Baseball fans made a national story to, you know, a night like tonight. A sack fly and a solo shot is all they're able to get. And they end up losing the series. So anyway, let's talk about the team winning the series with the winning streak, with the best record in baseball. Joe out on Staten Island, you're on the Fan.
All right, Keith, thanks for taking a call, man. I'm still on my way home from that great game. Mendoza deserves a ton of credit. The crowd was, for Tuesday night, I've never seen it like this. But I want to focus on one thing, and I beat up Al Cintron the other day a little bit about it. And this, good luck with Alvarez taking Turenne's place. This guy, first of all, he's the best catcher right now in baseball. He hits for power, he hits for average, he frames the pitches well. Ricky Henderson would be scared to run against him right now.
Yeah.
All he needs to do is get a little speed. And he'll be maybe the MVP of the league, best catcher in the league right now. How are you going to put Alvarez in? I'd like to see what they're going to do when he comes back. This guy's amazing right now. He's elite.
Yeah, I think they're going to slow play it. There's no reason to slow Torrens down. I think I saw on SNY just now he's got 13 hits. Last year he had 27. You know he guns guys out on the base pass. and he's coming up and he's hitting in big spots. He's driving in runs.
That's the thing. Big spots. He's hitting in big spots. I mean, he, if it wasn't for him, he's one of the main catalysts to this run, I feel. One of the, I mean, besides the polar bear, which that guy, Robert Redford, should play him in the natural too. I mean, he's like a new man. He's just, he's not chasing. It's really, I mean, it's only April. The last caller, the Yankee fan, I get it. And he's right, though. It is only April, but, I mean, it's amazing. That St. Louis series was huge. They were no rollovers. That defense, the fact to sweep them in four, that four-game sweep, the confidence from it, they look like they're just going to, they're rolling over teams. It wasn't even close tonight. They could have won, they could have got another couple of runs. They just, they really look great. The pitching, and for all my friends who said, why didn't they get a big name starter? Why didn't they? I said, listen, give the guy credit. He did it last year. They did it, Stearns and Cohen. Give him a little chance. You don't always need him. It's not a starting pitching game anymore. And look what they're doing right now. Best ERA in baseball. And, again, I know it's only April, but it's exciting to be a Mets fan. Thanks for taking the call, Keith.
Yeah, enjoy it, Joe. Don't let anybody tell you it's early. I was saying in my live chat, like, yeah, it's early, but for the Met fan, this is a continuation of last year, right? For the Met fan, it's like, okay, we got to the NLCS last year, and we lost some pieces, we added some pieces. What were we going to be? If it was the opposite, it'd be same old Mets, right? If this year started off like last year started, it'd be like, nothing has changed. No, this is the end of the LOL Mets. This is the start of consistency. This is being perennial contenders. This is putting together a good lineup, rotation, and bullpen. This is having a guy like Juan Soto, who is the richest player in the sport, one of the top five players in the sport, not performing and being able to overcome it because you have all the other bases covered. Guys like Luis Torrens coming up big. You know, guys like Francisco Lindor, like I said, leading by example. Pete Alonso being comfortable, paid Pete. They paid Pete. He's been money every night. He's so locked. It's, I don't know. It's an early part of the season, but it's connected to last season, the moves that were made in the offseason, and all the things that the Mets have done to hype up fans, to get people excited about baseball and Flushing. They're coming out and they're supporting the team, and the team is responding. And the players are talking about that. They see it. They know the difference. A lot of these guys have been here. They know the difference from last April to this April. It's more of a continuation than anything. So, yes, it's early, and they have to keep it going. They have to sustain it. But, like, how does that happen? That happens with the front office being connected to the manager, being connected to the captain and players, and it seems like they're all in lockstep. And help is on the way. And now you're in a spot where you don't even feel like you need that much help. You're going to have good problems to have when there's not enough spots in the lineup, not enough at-bats for guys, and then the cream rises to the top. The best players are going to play. If you're not cutting it, you're out. So let's see. Let's see when the schedule gets a little bit tougher. But I think this was the first real test, and they've passed this test. Now you're looking to sweep the Phillies. You're looking for a 7-game win streak. You're looking for the best overall record in baseball, 18 wins, before you get a day off and you go just a little, you know, south down to Washington, D.C. to face the Nationals, where, I don't know, the Nationals are the Nationals, but I don't know. This is all positive stuff. There's nothing to knock. There is nothing to look at and say is a down part of this team, or there's no reason to knock the Mets right now. So anybody trying to do that just kind of comes off weak.
Yeah, no, the key for the team, and you said it, is when Alvarez got hurt in spring training, I think most Mets fans expected Torrens to just be not an automatic out, but not this good. And if you look at his stats, he's hitting .225 with a homer and six RBIs, but he's so much more than that, though. And you have to like be a Mets fan and watch the games in and out. He is a rock behind the plate right now.
Yeah,
he throws
runners out. I think he's been perfect throwing guys out at second base.
Yeah, and he calls a good game, and like, he's a solid, solid catcher. He's
and
a starting catcher.
He does it with energy. Did you see him when he did come through? He's fired up. You do anything with enthusiasm, it's infectious, whether you're the 9-hitter, whether you're a leadoff hitter, whether you're a guy that came over for $100K or $765 million.
He knows. He's fired up, one, because I think he did that family atmosphere shtick. Maybe that's actually true. but he is making himself a ton of money right now. Because he is going, and I'm sure maybe he's not thinking about that, but I kind of hope he is. Because he is changing his life every single day that he plays like this. And he's, listen, no one's saying he's Mike Piazza or a top-tier catcher, right? No one is saying that, but he is proving he could catch in the big leagues every single day.
That's why I say everything's coming up roses. That's why I say, you know, everything is coming up great for the Mets, because this is a guy that you got from the Yankees last year. When Alvarez went down, bro, people were calling for Tomas Nito to come back. They didn't even check on that because they had this guy. And Cashman sent him over for $100,000. The other day I was laughing. I'm like, the richest owner in the sport got a catcher like this for six figures. $100,000, like a deal done in a second.
Yeah, that's one of those things that clearly their scouting department got totally wrong. And that happens. The Mets scouts have gotten stuff wrong, too.
And even the kid Hayden Sanger for a couple games wasn't bad. Was fine. It was serviceable. So now you get Alvarez back. But what's going to be interesting here is getting Frankie Montas back and getting Jeff McNeil back.
The Montas thing is interesting because Griffin Canning has never been this
good.
Doesn't
make any sense.
It really did. And I am not into like the pitching lab stuff. I really am not. But maybe I should be. Maybe I should be taking that way more seriously. Because having these guys turn their careers around, whether it's Severino last year, right? Or whether
Clay Holmes.
Griffin Canning and Clay Holmes moving from a bullpen to a starter, whatever they are doing to these guys and whatever they are putting in their head, whether it's mentally or physically or whatever it is, and I'm sure it's a combination of both, it is working.
Yeah, it's just instilling in them confidence and coaching them up to throw certain pitches. Like when I didn't watch Canning as closely tonight because I was watching the Yankees and watching some of the Devils game, but he was slider, changeup, fastball, and he used to throw his fastball and get rocked. He was batting practice. And what I could tell was different was that he was using the fastball as his, like, put-away pitch. You know, he was throwing off-speed stuff and then sneaking fastballs behind by guys, and it's like, that's coaching, that's strategy. That's someone seeing his film, seeing what his pitch mix is, and saying, okay, this is how we're going to deploy this guy. And he was fired up, too. Tyler McGill, what the hell? Like, Tyler McGill? I thought Tyler McGill was a scrub, like, 3 years ago.
He was. No, you didn't. You were right. He was. Can you imagine if Carlos Rodon was on the Mets? Dude would win 20 games.
Yeah, I don't know.
He'd win 20 games.
I don't know if you could fix his mental up top.
Wouldn't that be a great test for the Mets pitching lab? Can they fix?
Let's see. Who could the Yankees use for Rodon? You want him? We'll do that deal. Send Torrens back. Actually, we could use Torrens, a right-handed catcher, a bat like that lower in the lineup. Yeah, send Torrens for Carlos Rodon. Done deal. Let's go to Vinny in Middle Village on the Fan. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. You know, the last couple of calls, you know, really stole a lot of my thunder, but that's okay. Obviously, you know, the pitching staff has been solid. The bullpen, I can't remember the last time I was this confident in a Mets bullpen. I'm 41 years old. I've never been this confident. I mean, as a matter of fact, the closer is the only one who gets me nervous. You know, all the bridge guys, Stanek, all of them, Buto, they're all getting big outs. But, you know, I really am, you know, at least the vice president of the Torrens fan club because, you know, this guy has earned the job, okay? Forget about the fact that he's hitting in the clutch. I'm not trying to overreact. I know it's only April. But when you got a pitching staff, not a rotation, the whole staff with the number one ERA, and you got a catcher that's throwing out runners at twice the MLB clip average, okay? The average catcher, he throws out 20%. Torrens is like 47%, okay, throwing runners out. You cannot take his job away and give it to Alvarez. You can't do it. Alvarez is going to come up. Sanger's probably going to go back to the minors. Or they wave him or wherever he's going to go. I don't know. But two out of every three games has to go to Torrens. Has to. And you know, I don't want to read too much into the post game. You know, I was listening to it on the way home, and Mendy's like, you know, Torrens is great. He knows his role. You know, when he says something like knows his role, I get nervous, you know? And I've seen, and you know, being a Mets fan is like almost being an abused animal. You don't know how to enjoy good things. Someone comes to pet you, you flinch, you know, because you're expecting to get beat. you know. But I'm expecting them to do something stupid here because I've seen it so many times. They're like, oh, well, you know, this guy was the top prospect, and we got to commit to him. We gotta let him play.
He's young. Alvarez is young. He's still unproven too. So they don't owe him anything because he's a top prospect. He's Luis Torrens. You don't mess with it, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Luis Torrens is 5 years older than him and has grinded and put in a lot of time to get this opportunity. Catchers don't catch every day, and they're gonna play the hot hand. I don't think, and they're gonna slow play Alvarez too because he hurt his hand. You know what I'm saying? So he's. There's going to be some soreness there too. I wouldn't even worry about it. I think you'll see Alvarez, but like it doesn't mean he's going to, you know, take the spot from Torrens. It's going to be both of them.
Listen, I hope you're right. It could be both of them, but Alvarez has to be the guy in the backseat. Torrens has to be in the lead. You got to let him go. Remember, this is a team with World Series aspirations. This is not a team just trying to be a 500 team and develop young guys like Beatty or Acuna or Alvarez. This is a team that's in win-now mode. They invested a lot of money in this team, and we can't afford to play games. And if a young guy's not performing, you know, you got to let the veteran play. And I hope you're right. I hope they slow play it, and I hope he's getting one out of every three games at best. I hope you're right. And I'm not trying to hate on Alvarez, but I mean, the guy chases everything. He doesn't throw runners out. I've never seen him have a stretch like this. Never.
They're going to do best for this pitching staff and the lineup. Thanks for the call, Vinny. They're not going to rush Alvarez back. They're not missing him. 888-808-1019. I got a break here. Let's go. Meyer, when we come back, I want to talk to you about the Yankees, and I see the rest of the Mets call. Stay with me. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be back right after this. KM to AM, Keith McPherson on the Fan till 2 a.m. We're talking Mets right now, but I did want to take a call from the last Yankee fan I had holding. Coming up, we have some audio from Carlos Mendoza, the Mets manager, post-game, as we just really started to get into the conversation around Luis Torrens, former Scranton... rail rider and now a cog in this Mets machine that I don't think they're going to take out when Francisco Alvarez comes. Let's talk to Meyer in Brooklyn about the Yanks. Meyer, you got it. You're on.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So actually, I was listening to your show a while ago, like an hour ago, and I heard you say something about that the Yankees need a leadoff hitter. So I watched.
Well, a caller said that. I'm fine with Ben Rice and Paul Goldschmidt as the leadoff hitters, even in Austin Wells. Hell, I'll take a Trent Grisham. But the caller was saying that we need a traditional leadoff hitter to move Ben Rice lower in the lineup. So go on.
I'll tell you, I think you should put Trent Grisham as DH and put him as leadoff hitter.
No. If Trent Grisham is playing, he's playing center field. You're not DH and Trent Grisham. Well, if you're DH and Trent Grisham, then where? What's the outfield?
Dominguez, Bellinger, Judge.
Okay, and then where's Ben Rice?
Ben Rice is not playing.
No way. We're not taking Ben Rice's. Ben Rice is playing like.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Like an all-star.
So maybe put him as catcher because Wells ain't doing good.
I mean, maybe, but I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, even Ascara, thanks for the call, Myron. Thanks for holding, bro. I just disagree. And that's the whole thing. You know, this is opinions and thoughts, but I disagree because I know they're not going to do that. They're not going to DH Trent Grisham. They won't even put Trent Grisham in left field. He's a center fielder. When he's in the lineup, he's playing center field. And I hope he's got a, you know, fresh human and had a great delivery and his wife or his girlfriend or whatever is all good. I'm not in his business, but he's on paternity leave. Trent Grisham leading off, I think that might be a thing. He cracked the home run leading off the first time he did for the Yankees in Tampa, and then Ben Rice did the same thing. Both of those guys are hunting. I like that. I don't have a problem with the Yankees leadoff situation. And again, this is not something I had on my bingo card. I didn't have Wells. I didn't have Goldschmidt. I didn't have Ben Rice. I didn't have Trent Grisham. I thought they might go Dominguez or Jazz. You can't go Jazz. Jazz is batting 160-something. And Dominguez 0 for today, and you don't want to put that pressure on the kid. Don't even mention Volpe as a leadoff hitter, no. But something has to happen with this lineup so that the three best, I mean, and I guess you want your three best hitters at the top, but you do want to lengthen the lineup. It'd be nice to have Ben Rice lower in the lineup. That's where he was. He's been tough, though. He's got a 1,004 OPS. How many homers do you have on a season now? Six? Five? Let's see how many homers Ben Rice has. Anyway, 888-808-1019 as the calls are coming in. Let's cue up this audio from Carlos Mendoza. I'm telling you, they're not going to just bring Francisco Alvarez back and tell Luis Torrens to kick rocks. Three reasons. One, Luis Torrens has been pretty good, who Mendoza calls Louie. He's been pretty good. Two, Alvarez is a young guy. He's 23. He hasn't proven anything in this league. They don't owe him anything. And four reasons. Three, these catchers usually help each other. And Torrens calls a good game. And they're going to do what's best for the pitching staff. They're going to do what's best for Kodai Senga, Clay Holmes, Tyler McGill, David Peterson, Griffin Canning, and even Reed Garrett, who we haven't mentioned tonight, who's been awesome, Max Kranick, Ryan Stanek, Braz Oban, you know what I'm saying? AJ Minter, they're going to keep him there. And last but not least, this guy broke his hand. Francisco Alvarez broke his hand. So, like, I think, and is it his glove hand? I got to look and see if it's his glove hand. But definitely if it's his glove hand, they are not going to be in a rush to have him catching multiple times a week with guys throwing 95 plus at his broken hand. Here is Carlos Mendoza talking about Luis Torrens, and obviously he had a big game tonight. Oh, this specifically talking about, and Paulie and I were just talking about this during the break, the decision not to pinch hit for him. And what I said about Carlos Mendoza, I give him a ton of credit too. Mendoza has such a feel for the game. This is not the first time, this is not the 21st time that he has gone against the book or he has gone against conventional thinking, and he's gone with the feel and heartbeat of the game and a player and given somebody an opportunity to stay in the game. And they make him look like a genius. So go ahead and play the clip with Mendoza talking about leaving Torrens in that spot.
I don't know. That was a tough one there, you know, having a guy like Nemo off the bench. But I don't know, it's just the matchup. Looking at the matchup, Nemo's gonna say it's the best matchup there, right? Nothing against Louis. I like the feeling for the game, you know, the game calling, even though you got a good one on Senga, that the defense is as good as Louis. But, you know, I just took my chances with him, and, you know, hopefully he puts the ball in play, finds a hole, and, you know, he gets to 0-2, and I was like, man. And finally, you know, he get the single, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, and he laughs like, love it when a plan comes together. James is in Nanuet on the Fan Next. What's up, James?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. Always love your show. I just wanted to talk about the Francisco Alvarez, Louis Torrens situation. I kind of agree with you. I don't think they should just jump ship with Alvarez right away to catch him every day. But his bat could be very helpful, especially in the bottom of the order, because outside of really the past few days, the bottom of the order really hasn't done anything. So I was just wondering if you think when Alvarez comes back, in order to get him in the lineup, with Winker and Marte both struggling, even though Winker did hit the home run the other night, do you think they should just DH Alvarez for a little bit and still see if Torrens can keep it going at just catching?
That's an option, too, that we haven't spoken of yet. Thanks for bringing that to the table. It was in my mind. I didn't get to it. They could DH him. Depending on the matchup, they could DH him and get him going that way first to say, okay, let's get you some at-bats, and they could always take him out of the game, pinch hit for him. It isn't like, you know, Marte or Winker, who are both, you know, Winker's batting over 200 now. I was about to say they're both batting under 200. Winker hit that home run 2 days ago now. Like, it's not like either one of them are, you know, owning the DH spot like a Ben Rice is owning the DH spot. You could put Alvarez in at DH just to get him some at-bats, get him some feel. And, again, no catcher catches all of the games in a week. You know, J.C. Escarra is going to spell Austin Wells. So there's going to be an opportunity for Alvarez to catch. He's just not taking the bulk of that responsibility from Luis Torrens right now, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, and like you said, it actually is his glove hand that he did hurt. So I know minor league pitching definitely is a major league pitching. I know he like Sproat and Tidwell, they throw gas down to the minors, but he hasn't caught any of those guys yet. So I think it could kind of halt that throw, the glove hand with him, you know, injuring that thumb. But yeah, I just don't. I know he hit 25 home runs his rookie year, but outside of that, even in 2023, where he did hit 25 home runs, his consistency was just terrible. Like, he wasn't a consistent hitter in the lineup. And I know Louis Torrens is only hitting 228 right now, but like the other caller alluded to, and like you just alluded to with Mendoza going to him in that spot, he's been so clutch and with runners in scoring position. And you don't want to throw off the pitching rotation. So I completely agree with you. I think Torrens has to get the bulk of the catching time even when Alvarez returns.
These are good problems to have. Thanks for the call, James. 888-808-1019. Instead of, you know, longing for him to return, like, I can't wait till we get Alvarez back, please. You're just like, when he gets back, good. You know, take your time. And we got a guy, and it didn't cost as much. Something else I was talking to Paul about was, as high as the Mets payroll is, as much talk as there has been about Steve Cohen and his money, and obviously they have the richest player in sports, or the richest contract in sports, you know, they are getting contributions out of guys. Like, I don't know what Torrens makes. It's not a lot. I don't know what Griffin Canning makes. I think it's like $4.5 million. Not a lot. David Peterson, Tyler McGill. Like, obviously, when you combine what Lindor's AAV is, Soto's AAV, and Alonso's AAV, like, the top of their lineup is a ton of money. But, like, they're getting contributions out of Mark Vientos, Brett Beatty, Luis Angel Acuna, and multiple starting pitchers and bullpen arms that are very cost-effective. It kind of balances it out. So it isn't all just the team that money bought. It isn't just all the high payroll, because that's another thing that, you know, some of my friends that I converse with about the Mets are saying. They say, oh, they have a high payroll. They're supposed to be good like this. I'm like, yeah, but if you think about where some of that money was spent, or where that money was tied up, and who's that, like, they're actually getting a return on investment from guys that they didn't invest a lot of money in. Limo driver Ed on the Parkway checking back in on the Fan.
What's going on, my brother? How you doing this evening? All right?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, you know, hey, listen, I tell you one thing. Someone done woke up the polar bear, huh? He's not hibernating no more, is he?
Those game checks.
Job,
he's never seen game checks like this. Every time those game checks hit, he's like, well, damn.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I like the way the team is playing right now. Listen, until we go on that West Coast, then we'll see, okay, how we make it out. Yeah, I'm not getting two angels now with the East Coast and the teams that we've been playing. Let's get to the West Coast. Let's see what we're going to do there. But I do like the pitching. I do like the way the team is playing. I like for Soto to get his head together in the future. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is good right now. We can make excuses, and we're going to do that. And I understand that. But right now is that, you know, we need to, he needs to get his head together. Because we're going to need him. you know, and I understand, but he's making a lot of money, and that doesn't fly. So that's what I'm saying about that. What are you going to do?
Thanks for the call, Ed. So the two things that you said, one, being reserved in my live chat on YouTube right now. Shout out to everybody. I was just talking about it. I'm like, listen, I know it's early, but this is a continuation of last year. And like, we wait for baseball. And when we can go to the ballpark and watch this stuff daily and nightly and talk about it, like, man, don't be a killjoy. Don't let anybody kill your vibe. Like, enjoy it. But for the Met fan, there are some Met fans that popped up in my chat, if I scroll back, where they're like, they're a little bit reserved. And that's what Ed kind of was. He's like, you know, I like it, and you know, it's good, but let's see what happens when they go on the West Coast trip. So I was saying during the break to some of the people in the chat, like, you know, the Met fan has had some premature celebrations. I don't think there's many people running to say that the Mets are World Series champions off of this start and having the best record in baseball and another win streak and a 6-game win streak now and only winning one game at home. But I do want to hear from more Mets fans like Ed that are like, hey, you know, hold on, like we got a long way to go, and look at the schedule coming up, and let's see. And then also with Soto, the point you made about Soto getting going, what a luxury it is to have Juan Soto and not need him. What a luxury it is to have a guy like Juan Soto, and he can go through it, and you're still winning without him. You can almost bank on this and book it. I'm not saying anything prophetic. There is going to come a time where everybody else slumps and Soto is winning you games. There is going to come another time where Soto is hitting a home run every day. There is going to come other times late in the season where Soto has multiple home runs in a game, drives in multiple runs. There is going to come a time where Soto is so locked, they are walking him and like he's doing the shuffle again. Like, it's a luxury, man. It's a luxury to pay this guy all this money and not even need him. Like, to not even need him. To not even need him. Like, you got Jose Oscar and Luis Torrens driving in runs. Soto, you could just chill. You're all good. You're all good, buddy. Lindor and Alonso will carry you. And you keep getting acclimated and adjusting to not hitting in front of Judge. And this whole thing will blow over. That's why they didn't make a big deal about the article last week. Just let it blow over. There'll be some boos. There'll be a standing O. As long as we keep winning, winning cures all. 888-808-1019. I still got plenty of time. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll keep it with the Mets. Once we get into the 12 o'clock hour, I will sprinkle in a little bit of NFL draft. And, of course, I'm going to come back to the Knicks. It'll be Wednesday, and we'll be closer to Thursday. Thursday is the draft, and the Knicks getting back on the floor. Keith McPherson on the fan till 2 a.m. 888-808-1019. It's not my cell, but, like, Paulie will answer. He'll say, you want to talk to Keith? You'll say, yeah. He'll ask you what about. He'll ask you your name. He'll ask you where you're from, and there's a good chance you'll get on to talk to me. So let's keep taking these calls. Mike in Queens, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith, how's it going?
Good.
I'm on my way home from work right now. I love listening to you, by the way. I am a Met fan, and I don't hate the Yankees, but I got two things to say. Aaron Judge is the best Yankee since Lou Gehrig, and Luis Torrens is a better catcher than Alvarez. Better arm, better catcher. That's the way I feel.
I
hope you're right. I hope they keep him going because he is a good catcher.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate you checking in. Listen, I mean, Judge is, and this is kind of what I was just saying, you know, in between on the live chat. If you want the video component, if you're at home and you want to watch, at Keith McPherson on Twitter, search it on Instagram. But it was like, yo, we're wasting a 4-for-4 night from Judge. Judge is having the best start to his career this early on, right? This is the best sample size Judge has put together out the gate. He's getting on, and you can't drive him in. He's doing his job, and we're letting up unearned runs, and we're losing the series like that. It ain't good enough. And then, yeah, I guess, you know, as you called and you said, I'm a Mets fan. I don't hate the Yankees. I don't hate the Mets. I just troll Mets fans. I like that. It's fun. It's entertaining. I had somebody in the chat just say, Keith, please taunt the Mets fans like you do best. I need to feel better. The Yanks are bumming me out. I'm like, there's nothing to taunt. These are my Mets. There's nothing to troll. There's no jokes to make. I don't hate the Mets. There's nothing there. I don't reach for them. There's nothing to say. You can only give props. You can only look at what the Mets are doing and be like, I see you. Welcome to the party. I see what y'all are doing. You can't hate on it. That's if you're finding a way to hate on the Mets right now, like, you're a super hater. I'm not that. I think I'm good at being a Mets hater and a troll when need be, but now I'm hosting the show. And the Yankees lost, and what do I always say? To the victor go the spoils, man. They're winning. They have the best record in baseball. They're in first place. They have a winning streak. They're not losing at home, and they're doing it in multiple ways, and they're beating their rivals. The Phillies, I thought, would want some kind of smoke with the Mets. I don't. They're about to get swept. They're about to mess around and get swept. So, yeah, all is well that ends well. But, you know, like the caller was saying, with the Mets and the Yankees, like, the Yankees did the Mets a huge solid. Here's Luis Torrens for nothing. One man's trash is another man's. Actually, this guy is going to be our starting catcher on this team for nothing. That's what I'm saying when I go back to, like, as high as the Mets payroll is, as rich as the owner is, as top heavy as, you know, the lineup is, they're getting contributions from guys that don't cost much, that are really cost effective. You got to love it. Miriam, thanks for holding. Forest Hills, you're back on the Fan.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Me and my kitties and everybody is fine, and we're doing fine. I'm very proud of this Mets group, because the one thing that no one says, and I saw maybe somebody did say it, but the length of the baseball season has a whole lot to do with who plays and how they play. Right now, the Mets are doing fine. I love it. But because of the length of the baseball season, there may be times when they're not going to be so good. So you have to let them play on and do their best.
Correct. You know what? That's wisdom right there. It's a long season. You're going to rely on a lot of different guys to get through, to get by. Yeah, you're going to rely on a lot of guys to win.
That's right. And it's not, you know, it's April, sure it is, but the reality is it's 6 months, and it's a long 6 months. And now I have bad news for you. The Devils are not going to win their series.
No, I know. And they're not going to rally like they did against the Rangers 2 years ago. For people pointing to that, these two things are not the same.
I know. And I'm sorry for it, because I like those people, but they scored only 2 goals and given up 7. And I'm sorry to say, because they have injuries, that also doesn't help.
Yeah, but even, like, I don't know, how much of a difference does Jack Hughes make? I joke that, like, okay, maybe we'll have someone to score, but it's just so obvious. Like, I haven't been able to sit down, and actually, I did the first game. I sat down and watched just that game, and I'm like, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they're tougher, they skate better, they're on their home ice, they're the better team. This isn't new with the Canes. Like, they're not, I don't know, they have a lot of good players. The Devils are not waltzing in to their building and beating them. And now, let's see, Friday, I think game 3 is in Newark, and Sunday, game 4. Yeah. Don't get swept. Protect home ice.
But also the Hughes brothers play well together, and they're not together now.
And Luke got hurt.
Yeah, that's right, and it helps. Now, I want to say something about me. The Islanders are not going to renew the contract of Lou Lamoriello, which is, it's sort of sad, but who knows? I would like them to get Barry Trotz back, because he was one of the best people they had. I'm hoping that Preds can, you know, decide maybe he should be a manager instead of a coach.
Maybe, yeah, they got to figure it out over there. They have a great building and a fan base that wants to be active and wants to support him and wants to go there, but got to figure it out.
We'll
it's
see.
Been disappointing.
Yeah. How's everybody doing? How's mommy and kitty and baby? Good?
Good. Everybody in my house, they do their own thing. I'm the only one that creeps out at night and creeps back in at night and then is sleeping in the morning. They're all good. They're all living their lives. And when they see me and they ask me how I'm doing. I don't know. I'm tired, watching games. And that's all you do. You go to work. You talk sports. You watch the games. You go to sleep. We don't really get to connect with you until maybe Saturday or Sunday. And then I'm going to the game.
How old is he now?
My son is 2 now, going on 3. Yeah, it's crazy. He's a dude. He's like a fully, like, he walks, talks. He speaks very well. He just doesn't, his brain isn't developed yet. So it's like,
well, it's slow. They
temper tantrums,
you know,
his speech is not right. Like, he says stuff like, eat water, eat water. I'm like, no, you don't eat the water. if you want some water, you like ask me for some water and you can drink. Eat water, eat water. And if I don't do it fast enough, it's
Yeah. How's Kitty doing with baby and mommy? Is she all right?
She's just getting older. And so, yeah. Like, now that she's older, she's different. But, like, she has her spots in the house, and she doesn't really want to be bothered. And she's really picky about what she eats. She has a certain time that the automatic feeder goes out. But other she just wants, as far as I'm concerned, she just wants
how
to lay on me.
Ooh. How old is she, though?
May 15th, she'll be 4 years old.
Okay, she's still young.
Oh, my goodness.
I have an old man. He's 13.
Wow.
He's a senior cat. The older they get, the more you have to change what they eat. She's still young. In about 2 years, she'll be a senior cat.
I don't know. The time is flying by. Miriam, thank you so much for the call. Take care of them cats. I'll take care of my one. Keith McPherson on the Fan is almost 12. So when we come back, I'll say good morning. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Fan.